For Life Change Tea. Many of you have purchased Life Change Tea and have experienced the positive effects from drinking this all-natural cleansing tea. I wanted to remind all that listen that Life Change Tea also has other wonderful all-natural products that help reduce sickness, fatigue, and much more. Our newest product, Artaquil, helps with blood disease and viruses. And then we have our all-natural sea vegetables, or our eighth elements. We even carry Dr. Christopher's Hawthorne Berry Syrup, which helps greatly with the heart. You might say we're a little health supplement store. Proven products with tons of testimonies. Don't be in bondage to sickness. Get out now. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can order by phone, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Study our website at GetTheTea.com. Godspeed to good health.
Greetings, my friend. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future.
Stay tuned. You're listening to The Micro Effect.
Hour number one, don't turn off that dial. If you'd like to be part of today's show, there are several ways you can do it. You can join us in our live chat room at www.globalfreedomreport.com and ask questions and offer your comments from there. You can give us a call toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. and Canada at 888-747-1968. That number again, 888-747-1968 to go on the air. If you are located outside the U.S. and Canada, it is a toll call. Because you're paying for the call, we'll make sure you get on the air ahead of anybody else. That number is 001-208-935-0094. And please make sure you let us know if you are calling from outside the U.S. and Canada. If you're listening online, please take a moment to vote for the show. If you already voted for the show, that's great. We appreciate it. But it's the new hour, and you can do it again. Go to www.talkstreamlive.com. Click on the name of the show, The Global Freedom Report. Click on the name of the network, The Micro Effect Broadcast Network, and you're done. You have voted. And you can vote two times from your IP address each hour of the show. So we appreciate your vote and your support and your participation. My guest is Horace Cooper, Director of Law and Regulation at the Institute for Liberty, www.horacecooper.com. Horace, welcome back to the show. We had a comment from Alphonse in the chat room regarding Obamacare. He said the Senate wrote the law and attached it to an obscure revenue bill written by Congress. H.R. 2525 is the bill Congress passed dealing with IRS dealings with the military. The Senate took that and wrote Obamacare, and the Senate can't write tax law. Hence, the entire thing should be unconstitutional. Can you comment on that?
Well, actually, that is a case. Liberty University has to have arguments on that very question. It is probably likely to go before the Fourth Circuit, and we will see it come back again before the Supreme Court. My answer to you is an echo of what I said earlier, and that is that even though the political way that the Chief Justice responded to the Affordable Care Act was embarrassing, would be shameful as far as our framers are concerned, it was actually the victory that the analyst suggested at the time. There are going to be numerous attacks on this legislation, and precisely based on whether or not the taxing power of Congress was properly operated. And in this case, it does appear to the casual observer that this is a bill that originated in the United States Senate. As many people may or may not be aware, there was a Senate race after Senator Kennedy died, and with Senator Brown won a special election and campaigning solely on promising the people of Massachusetts, if you vote for me, I will not vote to pass the Affordable Care Act. He was elected, and precisely because of that, we simply witnessed, I used to work on Capitol Hill, we witnessed something nearly unprecedented, and that was that the Congress was forced to take a half-written bill, pass it in the House, and send it to the President with gaps, with changes, with all manner of provisions that simply had no actual sections associated with them. So you might have four or five different provisions affecting this particular treatment, and in a similar situation have nothing, or in another section have actually the opposite, giving the Secretary of Health and Human Services broad power, lawmaking power, to decide these kinds of difficulties. This was poor lawmaking. This was a brutal assault on liberty. And when the Americans were watching, a teachable moment for them to see the value of a Supreme Court, the court led by its Chief Justice let them down.
By the way, WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio listeners, you should now be with us on 5.070 megahertz, and hopefully you got the word to make the changeover. Otherwise, you're listening to static right now. Do you believe, Horace, that assuming a Romney win and assuming the Senate takes the Republicans take the Senate, do you believe Obamacare will be repealed?
I do believe that Obamacare will be repealed, but I also believe that it is very likely that the premises that Obamacare are based on are not going to be rejected. Here's a fact. You can't have a system called insurance if people are allowed to buy a policy after injury has been diagnosed or designated. If I get into a car accident and I wait until I get into the wreck to buy a policy and the insurance company is required to sell it to me, that's not insurance. It's a whole separate kind of scheme, but it's not insurance. Fundamentally, most Americans seem to think that it is appropriate to say in America, regardless of whether we have the Affordable Care Act, a principle such as you should be allowed to wait until after illness to decide whether or not you're going to buy a policy. And a company should not have the right to, A, not charge you, or B, change what it charges you since you, in fact, have this pre-existing condition. There are several other of these types of mandates that all go to the point of, is it my personal responsibility to see to it, my and my family's responsibility to see to it that I have am provided health care, or is it society's responsibility? We will repeal the Affordable Care Act, but we're not rejecting this notion that ultimately it's society's job to see to it that every person has health care. Yeah. However you try to carry that out, it will not work.
No, and I hear what you're saying. It's something I've said for many, many years. You do not have a right to health care. You have a right to the pursuit of health care, but you do not have a right to health care, and people just don't get that. The Constitution is regarded as the supreme law of the land. It is a limitation on government powers, yet the government regularly disregards the Constitution, and the President regularly circumvents constitutional authority imbued in Congress through the use of executive orders. Considering that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, would it be fair to say that the U.S. federal government has become a lawless or perhaps an outlaw government?
Well, the U.S. government clearly is not constrained by its existing Constitution, and to the degree that that makes it one that operates in a lawless fashion, you have to say yes. To the degree that we mean by lawless, merely something that is regularly destructive in the lives of others, well, that's a mixed question. It would depend on whose axe is being gored.
No, but I specifically meant because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. If you don't obey the Constitution, you're presumably breaking...
Well, that's what I said. I would agree with that. I would agree with that statement. Some folks say it's the equivalent of saying that the U.S. government is therefore a bank robber. It could be. It could not be, but it can still figure out how not to be constrained by its law. And it is presently unconstrained by most of its law. It is, in large circumstances, untethered to the Constitution that our framers have adopted.
I want to move over to one of your other fields of expertise, intellectual property rights. Now, the United States has been seeking to extend what I consider to be imperialistic policies throughout the world, using copyright infringement on intellectual property as its excuse. In New Zealand, the U.S. has conspired to libel and slander Kim.com, fabricating evidence and rendering untrue characterizations of this essentially old man in order to get him extradited to the U.S. Now, frankly, this stinks of Nazi Gestapo tactics of which Adolf Hitler would be proud. What are your thoughts on the Kim.com situation, and to a greater degree, this tactic being employed by the U.S. against people like Kim, Julian Assange, and the like?
Well, a little bit more familiar with the Julian Assange case. I have to admit to being unfamiliar with the first case you mentioned. Here is my general take. I have seen abuses on the part of the federal government in which they use either international treaties or other federal funds or other mechanisms to achieve ends to which they were never intended. I was involved in a situation a few years back in which a British national was accused of engaging in systemic tax fraud. Now, on the merits, there was little to no case. I'm going to just give a little bit. A British national came to America, met with some friends while there, gave $5,000, left, went back home. Some 50 years later, the investment of that $5,000 had turned into about $100 million. Controlling interest on the part of this British national. However, day-to-day activity over 50 years had been done in the hands of another. When that individual who was responsible, an American citizen, died, having not paid taxes, having not filed SEC forms and engaged, he actually committed suicide, a number of things, the American government, instead of saying, oh, well, we didn't catch this, decided to use 9/11 anti-terrorism treaties as a way to try to snatch and grab this British national to bring him to the United States so that they could put him in tax court, where instead of you having the right to remain silent and all of your traditional constitutional rights, it's an administrative process where a finding of guilt, or in this case a finding of liability, could be used later in a federal court for the purposes of prosecution. Obviously, that person wanted to avoid that, and obviously, from my perspective, that was an example of the kind of abuses where the federal government uses powers that it has in a way never contemplated.
Well, let's talk about the Julian Assange situation. He's been accused, but not charged, with sexual misconduct. Based on nothing more than an accusation, Britain has agreed to extradite him to Sweden. Assange fears if he gets extradited to Sweden, then the U.S. will get him extradited, and that will be the end of his life. Personally, I agree. What has happened to the presumption of innocence? Since when have people been extradited based solely on an unsubstantiated accusation? How has such totalitarianism and tyranny seeped into the fabric of so many governments today?
I'm going to tell you, I share your skepticism. I'm no expert on extradition law, but I share your skepticism that having witnessed what I saw in the IRS context be abused with 9/11 anti-terrorism treaty rules, I would be troubled to a great degree to see that the federal government of the United States uses a pretext of this sexual assault to find Mr. Assange in a American-friendly country and then seek to grab him and take him under that pretext. That would seem to me to violate the rules. That would seem to me to flout the process. Now, I am not opining on the merits of Mr. Assange's charges vis-a-vis America. I'm simply saying I do not support being able to be extradited based on unrelated charges and then using them as a pretext to get you to America. That, to me, is fundamentally unfair. That, to me, is the was very precisely why we have written laws, why we have the notion that we will have a judicial process as opposed to simply murder reaches out and says, take him away. That's not supposed to be our system.
But even more so, since when do you get extradited for an accusation? Even the Swedish authorities said, he's not being charged with anything. We just want to question him. How can people be extradited?
No, I'm agreeing with you. I don't agree that someone should, if Mr. Assange is accused of rape, if he's accused of murder, if he's accused of any number of things, I don't agree that that's a pretext for the American government to be able to get him in a American-friendly country and take him to America for unrelated things. If there is a process that other countries have agreed to with other countries vis-a-vis those crimes, I want them to adhere to the laws that they have adopted. I'm unfamiliar, however, with how European extradition rules work. I just don't believe you should be allowed to grab a person for American law violations, in this case espionage, under the pretext that he is brought to Sweden or Norway or any of our NATO allies countries, that for crimes that they're investigating, that we should be allowed to then snatch him and bring him to America. That, to me, is fundamentally unfair.
It just, it blows my mind, I mean, in this case. All right, predict the future for us, okay? Look into your crystal ball. What do you see happening in America over the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, we've got one of two courses that we're going to take.
And you've only got a minute and a half to answer that.
Okay, there is ample opportunity for a nationwide revival to take place, similar to what we saw at the beginning of our country and then shortly after the Civil War. Or we're going to head down the direction of more coarsening, of more societal dreck, and of more disconnectedness from the notion of individual responsibility and displacing that with collective responsibility. We're going to see more and more conflicts between the role of God in society and society. In 5 to 10 years, that revival is going to turn down one course, maybe a course that saves America. That revival doesn't happen. I'm going to be very, very troubled by what I see or what my progeny sees.
Well, I'm with you on that. My guest has been Horace Cooper, Research Fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research and Director of Law and Regulation at the Institute for Liberty. If you'd like to learn more about Horace's work, you can go to www.horacecooper.com, horacecooper.com. And Horace, I certainly hope you will use your outreach and your clear intelligence on these matters to keep trying to just promote that rule of law concept and that idea of people helping each other. Just keep putting that out there, because frankly I think that's what we need. We need people to start doing things differently. What we've done up to this point has gotten us where we are. If we don't like where we are, we got to do something different.
From your lips to God's ears.
Excellent. Horace Cooper, again, www.horacecooper.com. Thanks so much for spending this time with us. God bless you and the work you are doing.
Thank you for having me on your program.
It's been a pleasure. And we will be right back with more, including the Patriot Congressman, Dr. Ron Paul. That's next on the Global Freedom Report.
If you work in the private sector, you have to voluntarily assess yourself before you are obligated to pay income tax. That's what you did when you signed your employer's W-4 form. You made a contractual request to have a portion of your earnings sent to the IRS. Would you like to learn how to stop the government from reaching into your pockets? Call for information on the Freedom Bound Tax Freedom Program. Call 888-385-FREE. That's 888-385-3733 or on the web at freedomradio.us. The proceeding is not to be construed as legal advice.
Hi, Dad.
Oh, son.
What's going on?
Oh, just got my shipment of freeze-dried food from the freeze-dry guy. I was laying away our family supplies here.
Dad, you're not planning to have an emergency, are you?
You don't plan to have them. They happen on their own. You plan a response.
Like what?
That,
what could go wrong?
Well, imagine you go to the grocery store and it's empty.
Dad, that's paranoid.
That's possible.
It's paranoid.
It's not paranoid to prepare. It's perfectly prudent.
Okay, Pops, I get your point.
Keep it.
But, Dad, what if we never need it? Won't it go bad?
Oh, no, son. You'll have babies of your own, and this stuff will still be as good as it is today. And it's good, too. Believe me, I've had some.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Dad, maybe we could have a practice emergency.
Test the food out, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope we don't have a real emergency, son. But if we do, I intend to survive. And I intend for you to survive, too.
Thanks, Dad. I better get the rest of this put away.
Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguide.com.
Can we talk a little about corporate service? You wait on the phone forever. They don't care. You're just a number. You're rarely taken care of. And it's enough to just... Ugh. Corporate companies could have a great product, but if they don't care about the customer, that's you, what good is the product? Not at Life Change Tea. We have a great product and a caring staff. Don't get me wrong, we want your business, but we care about our customers. Just ask our customers. Our product makes people feel better and helps them obtain great health. So join us by calling 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. When you speak to our operators, you'll know this word to be true. Get your life change tea at getthetea.com.
If you're fed up with the government imposing its rules and regulations on you and your property, you need to order a copy of Brent Johnson's internationally acclaimed bestseller, The American Sovereign. It's over 200 pages of invaluable information to help all liberty-loving Americans protect their property from attachments by the IRS or government agencies. Call 1-888-385-FREE. That's 888-385-3733 or online at www.freedomradio.us. The American Sovereign from Brent Johnson, your guidebook to liberty.
Greetings, my friend. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future.
Stay tuned. You're listening to The Micro Effect.
Every day there's more people stepping forward, want to be a part of Castle's world, throwing away everything it means to be human.
Right now it's the desperate ones, convicts, addicts, the sick, the poor, the ones that fell through the cracks. The
federal prison system is growing out of control, set to bankrupt the whole damn USA. Then Castle rides in on a white horse, says he has a plan to bail us all out and we just fall in line.
Healthcare system is collapsing.
And this time he's pushing for total control over genetic disease. Birth defects no longer an issue. All we gotta do is exchange ourselves for the ones he wants to give
promise
us.
Promise of a longer life and a fatter wallet.
The next thing you know, we're all slaves.
I was born in a welfare state, ruled by bureaucracy, controlled by civil servants and people dressed in gray. Got no privacy, got no liberty, 'cause the 20th century people took it all away from me.
Welcome back to the Global Freedom Report. I'm your host, Brent Johnson. We got a great show going on right now. If you'd like to be part of the show, give us a call toll-free at 888-747-1968. That number again, 888-747-1968 to go on the air live. You can also join us in our live chat room at www.globalfreedomreport.com. And don't forget to vote for the show. Very simple. Go to talkstreamlive.com. Click on the name of the show, The Global Freedom Report. Click on the name of the network, The Micro Effect Broadcast Network, and you have voted. You can vote two times per hour from a given IP address. And if you voted last hour, that's great. Vote again this hour and vote a second time. We appreciate your support. Our question for your consideration, what would have to happen for a third-party candidate to become elected president of the United States? Some of the answers we have up to this point from Deb: has to be a Mason, first off. From Alphonse, the sheeple will have to wake up. From Rocky, fire the real vote counters. There you go. What do you think? What would have to happen for a third-party candidate to become elected president of the United States? 888-747 1968. Now it's time for the Patriot Congressman. In today's commentary, Dr. Ron Paul discusses how sane economics function, first by explaining sound economic theory and then by displaying the insanity of the existing economic system based on debt promotion and Federal Reserve policies, especially in the moribund mortgage market. He advocates allowing all bad mortgage debt to be liquidated either through bankruptcy or foreclosure, thereby forcing insolvent banks into receivership. This is the only way, painful as it may be, that we can fix the American housing market. Imagine what our country would be like with Ron Paul as president.
French businessman and economist Jean Baptiste Say is credited with identifying the fundamental economic principle that aggregate demand for goods in an economy will equal the aggregate supply of goods when markets are permitted to operate. Or in Say's words, products are paid for with products. English classical economist David Ricardo, among others, more fully developed this principle into what has become known as Say's Law. Say's Law, according to Ricardo, leads us to understand that market equilibrium for goods is constant. This simply means that markets, when left alone by government planners or other fraudulent actors, inexorably tend toward an equilibrium price which eventually balances supply and demand for any particular good. Thus, markets will clear themselves of any surpluses or shortages in the form of excess supply and demand. This important corollary of Say's Law, that markets clear, is critical to understanding the moribund U.S. housing market. In housing, perhaps more than any other good, we see the terrible consequences of government and central bank references with market forces. First, the Federal Reserve Bank relentlessly increased the money supply over the last few decades. Much of this newly created money and credit flowed from Fed member banks into the residential and commercial real estate markets, causing prices to rise dramatically prior to the housing bust of 2007. At the same time, the Fed systematically suppressed interest rates for decades. This led to tremendous malinvestment both by home builders and individuals, and it encouraged the subprime mortgage industry to make non-viable loans that would not have been made under market interest rates. Congressional meddling in the mortgage market also added tremendously to the problem. Inane legislation like the Community Reinvestment Act literally forced banks to make thousands of loans to bad credit risks. Similarly, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac put taxpayers on the hook for millions of mortgages that never would meet market underwriting criteria. And of course, the real estate and home builder lobbies made sure mortgage interest debt, unlike most personal debt, remains tax deductible. The ultimate result of these interventions by our caring friends in Congress and the Fed has been the biggest housing bubble and crash in U.S. history, leaving millions of Americans underwater on their mortgages if they have not already lost their houses altogether. Congress and the Fed are directly responsible for millions of shattered lives and almost unknowable economic damage in the form of trillions of dollars in mortgage-backed securities. The only solution to this mess is to allow the U.S. housing market to clear. All of the bad mortgage debt must be liquidated, whether via foreclosure or bankruptcy. Banks holding substantial mortgages or mortgage-backed assets must face the music and adjust their balance sheets to reflect today's reality. Undoubtedly, this will force many banks into immediate insolvency, but such banks must be allowed to fail without receiving another nickel of taxpayers' money. Banks took the risk and made money during the bubble years. Those who exercise bad judgment now must accept the consequences of their actions. Never in American history have we needed to adopt a policy of laissez-faire more desperately. Never has government seemed more determined to artificially prop up an industry. But only by allowing the housing market to clear can we hope to rebuild our shattered economy from a stable foundation. Clearly, there will be pain in the short term, but we owe it to younger Americans and future generations to allow the reemergence of a national housing market.
And, you know, who else talks like this? Who else says it exactly the way it really is? Ron Paul, the Patriot Congressman. Coming up, We're going to talk about voter ID. There's a whole bunch of proposed voter ID laws out there. We have a guest who says that every one of them is unconstitutional. We'll be back after these words right here on the Global Freedom Report.
If you work in the private sector, you have to voluntarily assess yourself before you are obligated to pay income tax. That's what you did when you signed your employer's W-4 form. You made a contractual request to have a portion of your earnings sent to the IRS. Would you like to learn how to stop the government from reaching into your pockets? Call for information on the Freedom Bound Tax Freedom Program. Call 888-385-FREE. That's 888-385-3733 or on the web at freedomradio.us. The proceeding is not to be construed as legal advice.
Prisoner, rise and answer my question.
Oh, crap. Yeah, it's a little dark in here, ain't it, Clink, now that you've busted the light?
Where are you?
I'm right in front of you.
Now, where have you hidden the wax figurine of the Kaiser?
I've got no bloody idea what you did with your wax figurine, and I don't care.
You are the prisoner!
That's right, and as such, I expect some answers out of you. Now, where did you put my stash of freeze-dried food?
We, ate it.
You ate it?
It was quite good.
I'm sure it was. I'll have you know that was freeze-dried food from the freeze-dry guy. That food rehydrates faster, stores longer, is nutritionally superior to, and tastes better than any other long-term storage food available. Now, let me out of here.
If you could get us some more, perhaps we could negotiate.
Yeah, perhaps I'll just confiscate your keys, Klaus, and let myself out the front door.
But wait!
I'm busy. Get your own supply of delicious long-term storable food by dialing 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Can we talk a little about corporate service? You wait on the phone forever. They don't care. You're just a number. You're rarely taken care of. And it's enough to just... Ugh. Corporate companies could have a great product, but if they don't care about the customer... That's you. What good is the product? Not at Life Change Tea. We have a great product and a caring staff. Don't get me wrong. We want your business. But we care about our customers. Just ask our customers. Our product makes people feel better and helps them obtain great health. So join us by calling 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. When you speak to our operators, you'll know this word to be true. Get your life change tea at GetTheTea.com.
Regardless of the dollar price involved, 1 ounce of gold would purchase a good quality man's suit at the conclusion of the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the presidency of Franklin Roosevelt, and today. You may not be in the market for a new suit, but you don't know what the future may bring. And gold is the one financial constant the world has ever known. It can always provide you with your basic needs. Whether you're looking for junk silver, old silver dollar rolls, gold bullion, or fractional tradable gold pieces, Kettle Moraine is your full-service representative with over 50 years of knowledge and personal experience. Visit FlyingEagleGold.com or call us at 623-327-1778 today for competitive prices on all your gold or silver needs. If you're looking for real financial insurance, call Kettle Moraine today at 623-327-1778. That's Kettle Moraine, 623-327-1778.
Introducing the new Goberkey Kit, a first-of-its-kind personal, practical, and portable water purification system for those on the go. As you know, we discontinued the mini Berkey with ceramic elements several years ago because the output of the filtered water was a meager pint per hour. The new Goberkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Goberkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality 304 stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sport water bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.4 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Goberkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Goberkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, your desk at work, and much more. Get your Goberkey kit today by calling 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or visit us on the web at BerkeyWater.com. Sorry, not yet available in Iowa.
Are you tired of the government intruding in every aspect of your life? Freedom Bound International is a common law private membership organization dedicated to the preservation of personal freedom, privacy rights, and the Declaration of Independence. As a member of Freedom Bound International, you'll have access to products and services that will help show you how to preserve your property and protect your privacy from government intrusion. Call 888-385-FREE, that's 1-888-385-3733, or log on to www.freedomradio.us.
Greetings, my friend. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future.
This is BC's Guardian, patrolling the streets of our nation's capital, and you are listening to the Global Freedom Report.
Freedom Fever.
It lifts hearts to see us bonded by an ideal that every man, every woman should be born, should live, and should die with the taste of freedom forever upon their lips.
Yeah! Freedom Fever. Make it viral.
We are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it.
And here's to you, Mr. Jefferson. We all miss you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mr. Madison. Heaven help these fools that legislate. Rights away, our rights away.
And welcome back. Welcome back to the Global Freedom Report. I'm your host, Brent Johnson. If you'd like to be part of today's show, the toll-free number from anywhere in the U.S. and Canada is 888-747-1968. That number again, 888-747-1968, to go on the air live. If you're located outside of the U.S. and Canada, it is a toll call, because that will make sure that we get you on the air ahead of anybody else. That number is 001-208-935-0094, and please make sure you let us know if you are calling from outside the U.S. and Canada. You can also join us in our live chat room, where you can ask questions and offer your comments to our guests and to the topics we discuss here at www.globalfreedomreport.com. And please make sure, sorry. I was going to say, if you call from outside the U.S., make sure you let us know. But www.globalfreedomreport.com, that's the live chat room. And by the way, if you are listening online, please take a moment to vote for the show. It's real simple. If you voted last hour, you can vote again this hour. Go to www.talkstreamlive.com. Click on the name of the show, the Global Freedom Report. Click on the name of the network, the Micro Effect Broadcast Network, and you have voted. You are done. And we appreciate that. You could vote two times per hour, by the way, from your IP address. And we appreciate your vote and your support and your participation. Thank you very much. John Rowland has been bashed around by the system as a result of his choice to expose its unconstitutional activities, including exposing a corrupt Texas congressman and corruption in the Randy Weaver and Branch Davidian cases. In 1995... he created the Constitution Society, a private, nonprofit organization dedicated to research and public education on the principles of constitutional republican government. It publishes documentation, engages in litigation, and organizes local citizens' groups to work for reform. John was born in San Francisco in 1944. He actually lived in a log cabin. He attended the University of Chicago, graduating with a B.S. in mathematics. That's Bachelor of Science, folks, excuse me, in mathematics with minors in physics and philosophy. John served in the United States Air Force as an air traffic control officer. He was a remarkable youth learning reading, writing, and arithmetic nearly as soon as he learned to speak and walk, and spontaneously spelling the word Christmas before he was two. Yeah, you don't think that's something? You try it. Go ask your two-year-old. He taught himself speed reading beginning at age 7 and calculus beginning at age 12. Before he graduated high school, he had read entire encyclopedias from cover to cover, including the Book of Knowledge, World Book, Americana, and great books of the Western world. John Rowland, welcome to the Global Freedom Report. How are you, John?
Just fine. How do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you. You're great.
Good, because I'm duly impressed that you're learning calculus at age 12. I was something of a math prodigy, but I never cared to learn calculus until much later in life, and even then it was a chore of sorts. Were you homeschooled?
No. I homeschooled myself. But I went to public school, but I was always many years ahead of my classmates.
I didn't last but a few years in public school for that exact reason. It wasn't geared towards people like me who were always asking questions. I would ask questions like, why is this the way it is? And they just didn't know how to handle that kind of stuff. Recently, you wrote an article that I posted on my website.
Painted a house, Freedom Radio, and earned the money to buy books to answer my own questions.
Yeah. All right. Recently, you wrote an article that I've posted on my website at freedomradio.us. It's entitled Identity versus Eligibility. Most voter ID laws are unconstitutional. Now, firstly, what is the difference between identity and eligibility as they apply to elections?
Well, first of all, the eligibility is spelled out in the Constitution and laws. You have to be, in general, a citizen and a resident of the election jurisdiction and have to be at least 18 years of age. And, of course, there are additional qualifications like not having had your privilege of voting disabled by being a felon or some such thing. That's eligibility. Identification is simply the way in which you are identified to others. We usually think of that as having a name or perhaps having some kind of identification document. But strictly speaking, when this country was founded, not everybody had a name. When people were asked to sign things, sometimes they would just sign an X, and somebody would write down beside the X, whatever name people locally were calling him. But he didn't really own his own name. But he could still be eligible to vote. So we need to separate eligibility to vote from identification by some kind of central government identification system. There's a real danger in having government control identification.
Okay, I can see that, but how could it be unconstitutional for states to require people to prove that they are eligible to vote in those states?
It's not unconstitutional to require them to prove their eligibility. The problem is requiring them to have a particular form of identification. In other words, government-issued identification. If it puts any kind of a burden on them to come up with the documentation needed to establish it. Now, if the state pays for everything, all the costs, if it just wants to issue you an ID card and, it pays for your birth certificate, interviewing your friends and neighbors, members of your family, all the stuff you would do for a background investigation, if he wants to pay for all that, then fine, he can do that. But there should be no burden on the citizen to pay for any of that.
Well, now, don't most laws of that sort have a provision that if you, like, for example, if I want to file a lawsuit and I don't have the money for the fees, I can always file something called an informa pauperis, which basically says that, you know, the government's going to waive the fees because I can't afford it. Isn't there something comparable with any of these kinds of ID eligibility laws where, you know, somebody who can't afford whatever process can simply get the fees waived?
Most of them are not providing for that. The closest thing that we've seen is here in Texas that provided for a free ID issued by the state, but you still have to provide the documentation to the state for it to confirm that your identity. And that will typically involve some cost. A birth certificate, for example, may, you know, run 20, you know, 10, 20, 30 bucks plus shipping charges. So you can impose a cost on people, which can be quite high and can violate the spirit, if not the letter, of the poll tax amendment. Remember, that's the amendment that forbade the states from denying anyone the privilege of voting. It's not a right, it's a privilege, on the grounds of not having paid a tax. And if you impose a cost on somebody, even if it's not money collected by the government, it still has is the functional equivalent of a tax.
Now, is cost the only factor that would make these laws unconstitutional? For example, I know that, you know, some identifications, some types of IDs that are issued by various states require you to have a Social Security number, which many people don't have, for example. So is cost the only factor? In other words, if it didn't cost somebody anything, would all of these potentially unconstitutional laws become constitutional, or are there other factors involved?
Well, in the case of the Social Security number, there can be no requirement, constitutional requirement, for anyone to present something he's not required to have, and no one is required to have a Social Security number. So if he were denied for lack of a Social Security number, that would be clearly a violation of the Constitution. The Constitution of the law may not command the impossible.
The original California Constitution of 1849 provided that only white men were eligible to vote. Yet, the government brought in immigrants from Spain and other places and then allowed them to vote on the new 1879 Constitution. In other words, people ineligible to vote ended up voting to change the state constitution, and that invalid 1879 Constitution still stands today. Doesn't the historical fact justify the passage of laws to ensure against ineligible people voting?
But you have to be careful about how you write them. The traditional method of proving identification was to have somebody who knows you swear out an affidavit that you are eligible. This could take the form of a notary jurat that simply says, I personally know this guy, and he is eligible to vote. Now, he doesn't have a name. We all call him Tom, but nobody knows what his mother called him. But we call him Tom, so we'll call him Tom for the purposes of this, but we know he was when he was born and where he was born and where he lives. So by those standards, he is eligible. Of course, he can't write, can't sign his name. So he can just make an X here, and we'll certify that he's eligible.
Well, now in today's voting world, we have some confusions here. For example, originally, you had qualified electors, and such an affidavit would presumably be filed with the county election manager. But today, you have privileged voters who are under the Registrar of Voters. Where would you put such an affidavit? Who would you submit such an affidavit to?
Well, you probably submit it when the registration was done. or more than likely at the polling place. In other words, somebody who wanted to vote would walk around with a notary jurat.
I'd be very interested to see what would happen in that type of a situation. Your article indicated most voter ID laws are unconstitutional. Can you describe any, either that exist or in theory, that would, in your opinion, pass constitutional muster?
Well, there are a lot of existing ones. Most of the older ones before this recent controversy got stirred up simply provided that somebody show evidence of his identity, and that could be any number of things. It could be, his driver's license, his utility bill, all kinds of things. Where he gets, the thing showing where he gets his mail from the post office. Any number of things could be used, and that was considered sufficient. But you'll notice that none of them were government issued. Okay, except for the driver's license, which is not proof of eligibility. It's just an indication of where the guy lives. There is actually no single document in the United States that proves citizenship. Even the passport doesn't do that. It's evidence. The State Department tries to only issue passports to citizens unless it issues them to a foreign national and shows that he's not a citizen, but they don't always get it right. So there is no absolutely sure method of proving citizenship, which is, of course, a big hassle for the whole immigration problem.
But that does raise a major issue. How do we protect the integrity of our electoral system if we cannot effectively verify who is eligible to vote as a citizen?
Well, it comes down to circles of trust. That's what the notary system does. You trust the notary, and the notary tells you it's okay, so you go with it. And, of course, there, some years back, a bunch of us established a network of digital notaries. These were people who used public key encryption to first establish, investigate people, establish who they were, and then thereafter, the digital notary doesn't need to be on hand. His certification is available as a coded key. So it's essentially using a strong encryption as an identification system. And that works very well. It can be a little bit of a problem if none of the digital notaries know you or can verify anything about you, but assuming that they can reasonably do so, then there's no reason why it shouldn't work in 99% of the cases.
Well, now, let's take this from a more practical viewpoint. Today, there are millions of people who are illegally in the United States. Clearly, these people are not eligible to vote. Yet, if all it takes is for somebody, some notary, to come out and say, well, this person is eligible to vote, in today's money means everything in society, all somebody has to do is grease a few palms and they get their eligibility certified. I mean, doesn't this lead us down a road of total corruption to our what is supposed to be an accurate electoral system? And what's the solution?
Well, it's the same road we're on anyway if we use government-issued ID. I mean, that can be just as easily corrupted, probably more easily, because it's one central point of corruption. It creates a false sense of security. You ask for a government ID and somebody produces it and says, this is all the proof we need. This is who he is. He's eligible. He's a citizen, all that. And like much of what the government does, by creating a false sense of security, doesn't really solve the problem. All it does is shoves it under the rug.
No, and I don't disagree with you on that. I completely agree with you on that. But that doesn't change the fact that we've got millions of illegals in the country. So from a practical viewpoint, how would you recommend addressing the situation that we have so many illegals and we don't want them voting?
I of course recommend creating a robust circles of trust system, a digital notary system. That way, people's identities are verified by people they know personally. And by trusting the circles, you trust the members of the circles. But nowhere in that system is a government able to swoop in and hack the system. Remember the movie The Net, starring Sandra Bullock, where her identity was hacked by, of course, in that case, a large corporation, corrupt corporation, but they flipped her identity with that of a criminal and who was wanted by the police, and suddenly, because she couldn't verify her identity independently, the cops were out to get her, and she couldn't deal with the problem that she was trying to expose with that corrupt corporation.
I remember that, yeah. Tell us about the Constitution Society. You founded.
I did. Well, I founded it in 1994. I, of course, had been concerned about constitutional violations since I was in public school, but...
You only have about a minute, so you got to make this short.
It was on the back burner for me for a long time, but then I witnessed Ruby Ridge and then the burnout of the Davidians. And as it happened, a job took me to San Antonio, to the Tower Life Building that overlooked the federal courthouse. I observed the trial while it was going on and talked to some of the staffers in both the defense and prosecution teams. Got a lot of inside documentation, including the judge's instructions to the jury before even the lawyers got it. And... I resolved that if the court was acted as corruptly...
Unfortunately, we are out of time. I was hoping you'd give me a better synopsis, a shorter synopsis. Listen, folks, I want you to go over to this website and check out the Constitution Society. It's www.constitution.org, constitution.org. You can also find out more information about my guest, John Roland, at www.johnroland.org, and that's J-O-N. John, thanks so much for being with us. I'm sorry I have to cut you short. I'm up against the hard clock. God bless you and the work you're doing.
Brent Johnson's nationally acclaimed Freedom Seminar on how to live free from government regulation is now available for home or office use on VHS or DVD. This incredible seminar is now on sale for only $129.95 in VHS or DVD for only $169.95. That's a $50 savings. Order your set today. Call 1-888-385-FREE. That's 888-385-FREE or online at www.freedomradio.us. This offer is for a limited time only, so don't wait.
Regardless of the dollar price involved, 1 ounce of gold would purchase a good quality man's suit at the conclusion of the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the presidency of Franklin Roosevelt, and today. You may not be in the market for a new suit, but you don't know what the future may bring. And gold is the one financial constant the world has ever known. It can always provide you with your basic needs. Whether you're looking for junk silver, old silver dollar rolls, gold bullion, or fractional tradable gold pieces, Kettle Moraine is your full-service representative with over 50 years of knowledge and personal experience. Visit FlyingEagleGold.com or call us at 623-327-1778 today for competitive prices on all your gold or silver needs. If you're looking for real financial insurance, call Kettle Moraine today at 623-327-1778. That's Kettle Moraine, 623-327-1778.
The time is now. As the walls are closing in on America, Republic Magazine is a beacon of light guiding those that fight for freedom and the restoration of America. Republic Magazine is the ultimate activist tool. Republic Magazine digs in deep to expose the lies and offers real solutions from the experts. No other publication in America offers the real news like Republic Magazine. Get copies to give to friends, family, and neighbors, or simply order a subscription for yourself at Republic Magazine.